And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And it left the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine. Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey everyone, Jim here, Boots and Whiskey Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in today on this Monday edition of the Boots and Whiskey Podcast. We have this week and next week, everyone, for the rest of 2023, and then we're going to get right into 2024. Damn, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks from today. Today's the 18th, so the first is 2 weeks from today. Damn. Wow. That's wild. I hope everybody has had a killer 2023. We do have three episodes for you this week. We are kicking it off today with Alexa Goldie. She is a Canadian singer-songwriter. We haven't had many Canadian singer-songwriters on, and honestly, she was absolutely fantastic to chat with, and we cannot wait for you to hear the conversation at hand. This girl is in her, I want to say her mid-20s, you know, 24, 25-ish. You know, I don't ask because it's rude, but if I had to guess, that's what my guess would be. And she's got it going on, guys. She has got this business figured out. She's a great singer-songwriter. She is going places for sure. She is, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if in the next few years, she's the next big thing in country music. And you heard it here first. I'm sure she's heard it all over the place. But Alexa Goldie is here today. Over the next few days, we have some more episodes coming out. We have episode coming out on Wednesday, which would be Andrea Vasquez. And then on Friday, we're going to give you a double dose of Ricky Duran. And we have one other one I'm just waiting for final approval on that we're going to hopefully get done this week to send out because it needs to go out this week as well. So stay tuned for that. Ricky Duran will be Friday night as well at Off the Rails in Worcester. We're looking forward to that. And that's it, guys. We're really super, super looking forward to the holidays to come and go. Not in a bad way, but you know, it's that time of year. It's stressful. But yeah, I'm very excited for 2024 personally and here with the show. So we appreciate you for being here and sticking with us all year. We are also going to start releasing some of our top 10s, top 5s of the year, you know, this week and next week. So stay tuned for that. Also next week, you are going to get an episode every day from Tuesday till Sunday. Some days we'll even have multiple episodes released so that on January 2nd, we start season 9 fresh. And going forward, it will be one episode a week unless it's a big thing. One episode a week. I promise. You know, I say that now, and I said that last year at this time too, didn't I? But yeah, so Alexa Goldie, she's here. If it's your first time here, guys, thank you for tuning in. Go check us out on all of our socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, you know, the whole nine yards. And we appreciate it so much. Boots and Whiskey Podcast, Boots and Whiskey Entertainment at gmail.com is, no, that's not even right either. Boots and Whiskey Entertainment.com is the website. Boots and Whiskey Podcast at gmail.com is the email. Wow. It's Monday. We had a Sunday yesterday, folks, and we'll tell you about it on the opposite side of the conversation. So sit back, relax, enjoy our conversation with Alexa Goldie. Alexa, thank you so much for being on the show today. Without further ado, the wonderful Alexa Goldie. Enjoy. We want to give a big thank you to our friends over at Off the Rails here in Worcester, Massachusetts. You can find them at offtherailsworcester.com. They have a great restaurant, a great music venue. They have everything you would want to feel like in Nashville right here in Central Mass. If you're ever in the area, check out the restaurant, check out the music venue. Again, offtherailsworcester.com, 90 Commercial Street, Worcester. Check them out.
Hey, Alexa.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Sorry. I was trying to connect with my laptop and it wouldn't connect because it's not connected to Wi-Fi. It's an old laptop. So I ended up doing it through my phone anyway.
No worries. No worries. As long as you're here and you can hear me, that's all that matters.
I can hear you. You're loud and clear.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, welcome to the show. You know, like kind of like we talked about, this is kind of about you. You know, I want you to just, you know, more or less tell your story. I have no questions for you. Until we get into some stuff that you talk about, and then we'll dig into some stuff as you go along and ask things along the way, and you know, just kind of have a good time.
Awesome. Excellent.
Yeah. So the floor is yours. I'll let you kick it off.
Okay, so just introduce myself.
Yeah.
Okay, well, my name is Alexa Goldie. I am a Canadian singer-songwriter. I have been trying to make it into this industry for over 10 years, starting in my hometown of Kingston, Ontario. I was a lead singer for 5 rock bands when I was 10 years old, performing in bars every weekend and taking every opportunity that I could. And then when I was 12, I was signed to an independent record label when I was founded by Avril Lavigne's founder, and spent most of my young childhood and early teen years in Los Angeles. My dad would go with me and my mom and brother would stay home. And then I decided that country was my thing and I didn't want to do the pop LA thing anymore. So my dad and I took a trip to Nashville. I fell in love with it, but wanted to finish school. So I went to high school, finished high school, got a degree at university, and then made the move down to Nashville in 2021.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you already started off with a whole bunch of crap. So rock.
Yes.
You went 5 at the same time?
Yeah, so there was this thing, it was called Renaissance Music. It's where I used to take music lessons in my hometown, and they held auditions for this thing called Rock Band Academy. And so I auditioned and I ended up getting the part for 5 different bands, and we would sing classic rock at all these festivals and performance nights and bars. Like, there's this Racks bar that obviously you can't perform in unless you're an adult, but they would let us perform. We were all young, just musicians trying to make it work, and yeah, we'd sing some classic rock songs, and my dad loved it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So before you auditioned for this, right, or whatever the case may be, you've been singing before then?
Well, like most singers, I've been singing since, like, I could speak. My mom has all these fun little videos on her camcorder of me making up songs, and I couldn't even speak yet, but I was just singing random words. And so I did that. And then I took about 5 months of vocal lessons, decided that the lessons weren't for me because that vocal teacher wanted me to do opera music, which was for sure not what I wanted to do at the end of the day. So I quit that. And then all of a sudden I saw a posting about it for the auditions, and I went and sang a country song, funny enough. Even though I thought I wanted to be a pop singer, I sang Stuck Like Glue by Sugarland, and yeah, they loved it and they put me as the lead singer for 5 bands.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, it was a fun experience. It taught me how to try and captivate a crowd in a bar at a very young age, and you know, all the things about showmanship. If the music's not working or whatever, I had to talk to the audience and performing, all those things.
I mean, that's a hell of a way to, you know, get your crash course into, you know, the industry and how to conduct yourself in front of actual people.
Yes, very true.
Wow, that's pretty cool. You know, because, you know, I think I told you, like, we haven't had a lot of Canadians on, right? But,
yeah,
you know, country music, you know, does have its...
With keeping that Central Mass vibe going, we have to thank our friends over at the DCU Center, again, here in Worcester, dcucenter.com. They are the premier venue here in Central Massachusetts. They are a mid-size arena. They're the home of the Worcester Railers, the Massachusetts Pirates, numerous concerts, numerous events. Check them out, dcucenter.com. They are at 50 Foster Street, right here in Worcester. Cheers.
Rock and roll was the way to go to begin pop music or you know, not country music.
It wasn't even the fact that I didn't really love rock music. I just, my dad loved it, so I knew most of the songs, like by Guns N' Roses and Aerosmith and stuff. But it was more just wanting to perform and have opportunities, so I would take anything. I mean, it could have been blues music, it could have been opera, it could have been pop, it could have been any genre. I was just wanting to perform, and my mom, I just remember we would always go to the mall before one of my big shows, and she'd buy me a new shirt or new pants, and I'd be so excited to wear it and perform on stage in front of new people and invite all my friends. And yeah, so it could have been any genre. It had nothing to do with actual rock music, but it did help growing up. My dad always in the car would play classical rock, so I knew most of the songs and material already.
Now, do you think that having that rock and roll background and having the, you know, because anybody that knows anything knows that, you know, rock and roll, you need some sort of a range, you know, depending on, you know, what you're singing. I mean, yeah, country music you do to an extent, but, you know, you're not singing stuck like glue and hitting those high notes Blair would do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was my first. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, do you think that having that background and having that, having that training helped with the country stuff?
I think it helped in the long run with my range, as you were mentioning, because there were songs by Aerosmith, so like Steven Tyler, Dream On, those really high songs I had to work on reaching. So when you're at that young age, it's so important to try and expand your range in a safe way. And doing those band practices during the week and the performances during the weekend for sure helped. I mean, it didn't even only just help the range. It helped with so many other things. It taught me that I wanted to write my own music because I didn't always want to perform other people's songs. So yeah, it for sure helped in the long run.
Now, do you find it easier to sing country music than, you know, maybe rock and roll song?
110%, yes.
Yeah. I can imagine. I mean, exactly for the reasons we just mentioned.
Well, unless it's a song by like Carrie Underwood, then.
Right.
Those are difficult too.
Right. But I mean, that's a whole other sub-genre of country music.
Yes. Thank you.
I just totally lost my train of thought, but that's all right. So you talked about wanting to write your own music, right? And at that point, when you started doing that, is that where the country music shift kind of started?
Well, so I had a vocal coach after the opera one. His name was Michael George, and he was my mentor for years. He's the teacher that helped me pick up a guitar, pick up piano, gave me performance opportunities. And I went to him one day and I said, hey, I want to learn how to write songs. And he was kind of known in our hometown for his songwriting. So he told me or showed me the logistics, and I would go over once or twice a week and we would just write songs and then record them in his house. And what was your question again? Now I've gotten on a rant and I've forgotten your question.
about when you started songwriting, to the thought of country music came about.
Oh, right. Yeah. So he was a country writer himself, I would say. So we would always write country songs. And then when I got signed to my independent record label and spent a lot of time in Los Angeles, they had me writing 2 to 3 times a week with all these pop producers and pop artists. And every single time that I wrote with one of them, they'd always say, you sound very country, or your melodies that you're bringing in, your words and your lyrics and your content, they all sound very country. And I was like, no, I'm pop. So then I would try and change to sound more pop by repeating and things like that. But yeah, everyone from a very young age told me that I was country. I sounded country. My lyrics were country. But I just fought it for a long time because I thought you had to have this strong country accent grown up on a farm and stuff, which I didn't.
Yeah, no, if you know, country music now, it's not, you know, like that. I'm not even sure it was ever really like that. You know, country music is all about a persona, right? It's all, you know, I'm probably going to get, you know, chastised for this, but it's all kind of a farce. You know what I mean? It's almost, a performance in itself, right? You know, your brand is a performance in itself, because most people, you're absolutely right, don't grow up on a farm. Don't, you know, grow up in that Southern way of life. And if they are, you know, it's the, you know, Oliver Anthony's of the world that just so happened to catch fire in a bottle.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Or the true Lainey Wilsons and people like that.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Right. Because, I mean, I think most people that listen to the radio, or at least country radio, you know, kind of can tell, you know, when somebody's full of shit or not. You know what I mean?
Yep. Like, yep.
You know, when one of these big stars is right, you know, singing a song about working 9 to 5, like, you know that's not happening, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's interesting that you said that. Now, when you're writing for other artists, or when you're in LA and writing other things, how different was the writing style for you that you had to put your mind into? Okay, I'm writing a pop song. Okay, I'm writing, you know, a different type of genre. You know, how was the mindset?
Well, we would go in every day. Now, I'm also known for being a sad writer. I love writing a sad ballad.
Not a girl.
even before I had ever had a boyfriend, I was writing heartbreak songs. And that's just what I grew up listening to. I grew up listening to Taylor Swift, and when I was 5 years old, I had never had a boyfriend, but I just loved her music and would sing all of her heartbreak songs, right? So
weren't dating at 4?
No. Well, I did have a kindergarten boyfriend, actually, my mom will tell you. And in my latest song, Set in Stone, I do mention him because he gave me a plastic ring from a gumball machine.
Oh,
so
he's the best. I hope he's well.
I hope he's well, too. His name was Jack. I'll give him a little shout out. But in these studios in Los Angeles. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I have not.
I switched. Yeah, I switched schools when I was from kindergarten to grade one. I switched schools, and I don't actually even remember most of the people I went to school with, but I think I still have them on all social media, which is fun.
Nice. All right, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, so just in the studio, I would always bring these sad ideas, and that's mostly what I released when I was doing the pop stuff. And as I said, my melodies and my content were always very country. And because I was so driven to be a pop singer back then, we would always change the melodies and, as I said, like repeat the lyrics in the chorus and have these pop melodies, pop sounds, pop instruments. Everything was electronic. So we did curve the songwriting after in production, for sure.
Huh. That's interesting. That's fascinating because, you know, obviously we don't have a ton of we don't have any non-country music writers here, except for like one. We've had one, and you know, it's interesting how different it is, you know, and how you know.
Now we're gonna thank our friends on the North Shore, the Porch Southern Fair and Juke Joint. Our buddy Jonathan Post is the head chef and owner of The Porch. They are at 175 Rivers Edge Drive, right in Medford, Massachusetts. Don't want to miss this place. They have some of the best food in the region. Jonathan has brought his Nashville roots here to New England with the food, with the hospitality, and most of all, the music. Check them out, theporchsouthern.com.
I think I've always been a country writer for sure, but I was just trying to be pop.
So when you're in LA and you decide, you know what, I'm all done with this, let's take that trip to Nashville, what caused that? What sparked that that change for you?
Well, everyone was telling me I was country, and I remember my dad and my mom always saying to me, like, Lex, we think you're country, and all you listen to is country music. I mean, back then when Taylor Swift and Deanna Carter and Rascal Flatts, they were the only thing that I listened to, and that was all country. And so why don't we just take a trip down to Nashville, meet with some writers, you can do some writing. And I was like, okay. I was kind of stubborn about it because I was like, I just want to be in Los Angeles. I loved it. And so we went down to Nashville, and I just realized that it felt like home. It was so weird. I mean, we went down to Broadway, and even though I was a kid and we could only be in the bars until 6 p.m. when they throw you out, I just had the best time watching the performers and meeting songwriters and going to all the writers' rounds. I mean, what I've wanted to do since I was a kid is write my own music and have people listen to it. So seeing that was actually happening in Nashville all over. I was like, I want to move here when I'm older.
Yeah. Now, with your, you know, with your success when you were younger, so there was never, you know, was there ever a conversation with your parents of like, hey, what's going to be your fallback in case this ever, you know, stops one day?
No, there actually wasn't. My parents are beyond the most supportive people. They have believed in me since day one, but they also told me that they want me to have a normal childhood, go to school. They didn't want me to always do the homeschooling thing, which I had to do for a bit when I was so busy with the music scene. But they've just always supported me. So even when I mentioned that I wanted to go to university and get a degree, they said to me, they're like, Lex, you don't really need something to fall back onto right now. Like, you're doing so well. And I do have a teaching school. I do own my own business here in Canada. So they've always just told me to go for it. But I think they're pretty happy now that I do have a degree to fall back onto.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
So you're in Canada now.
Currently, yeah, I leave this Saturday to drive back to Nashville.
Nice. So now, do you live in both places depending on what's going on?
I do. I came home for Thanksgiving, and then I got sick with a really bad cold for 3 weeks, so I ended up extending my trip here in Canada. But, I mean, I'm a homebody. I love coming home to see my family, so I usually spend a good 2 months in Nashville and then 2 months home.
Nice. That's
yeah.
Awesome. Now, while we're talking about country music in Canada and all that, you know, like I had mentioned, you know, you guys do have quite the scene up there. You know, you have the CCMAs and all that. Now,
yep.
What's the difference between that and what you find in Nashville?
I would say now in my hometown, there was really only me as a country singer and then another girl that was a little bit younger than me, and everyone else was kind of rock or pop because that's all we had at our fingertips. And I would say the main difference is the amount of opportunities to perform, to write. I mean, when you're in Nashville, you can network with when you just go to the grocery store. So another big difference is when you're in your hometown, you think you're the most talented person in the world until you go to Nashville and you realize how talented everyone is there.
Right. So there is no, you know, there is no going to like Toronto and being able to, you know, set up shop in a couple of clubs or bars and really hone your craft like in Nashville.
No, I mean, I have performed in Toronto many times and in Ottawa and stuff like that, but I would say that the opportunities are much easier in Nashville. There's certain things like every single restaurant and bar in Nashville has their own sound guy and sound equipment. Here in Canada, you kind of have to bring your own stuff and set up your own stuff, things like that. And
yeah.
Just the musicians that are at the tip of your fingers in Nashville, like I can call up 100 drummers if I needed to. And here in Canada, I know probably 3 that I'd have to ask if they're not already busy. So Yeah.
It seems like, you know, but then like you see people where, you know, there's a ton of people that are big in Canada. Now, how does it work for them? You know, these, you know, what would be superstars here, you know, that can sell out, you know, the bigger places there. Like, how do you know anything about them and how they were able to do it?
I don't. We with SoCan here in Canada, we have the great where they have to perform at least 33% of Canadians on country radio. So I think that helps a lot of Canadian artists. And we do have lots of country festivals like Boots and Hearts and the Calgary Stampede, things like that. I mean,
yeah.
I think it's obtainable. It just takes a lot of hard work. And I honestly don't know their secret to how they made it work.
Huh. That's fascinating. Because you're right, you know. Nashville is Music City, and everybody knows it by that, you know, regardless of where you are in the world, right? And there really is no other place like that. I mean, maybe Austin, you know, but still, it's all stuff that are, you know, it's wild. Being from Canada and living a lot of the time, you know, growing up and all that here, what are some major differences you have seen between the two countries when it comes to, you know, really anything, music, culture, you know, the way life is, you know, those sorts of things?
I get this question a lot and I never know how to answer it because I mean, I see a lot of similarities. I think I would say, well, I can tell you that our peanut butter in Canada and our chocolate is way better.
What? Come on.
I'll have to send you some. That is one major difference. Other than that, I mean, I've spent July 4th down in Nashville, and just the amount of celebrating and stuff is a lot different compared to Canada Day and things like that. But
yeah.
I don't know. I find things very similar. I mean, being in Nashville, even when I was in Los Angeles, everyone's just always been so kind to me, which Canadians are known for being kind. So I thought maybe that would be different. I don't know. I guess our language is a bit different. Everyone always tells me I have a bit of an accent when I say milk or pasta or a or y'all or sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Things like that.
Or about. Yeah.
Yep. About.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny because, I mean, I'm sure you get this also a lot too. You know, I'm in the age range where the last time Degrassi was really good and Drake was on it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that I was in high school for that. You know what I mean? So that's my that's my experience with Canadian culture or anything like that. And then obviously Working Moms on Netflix, if anybody wants that, because that
I love Working Moms.
Oh my God. It is the funniest show in the entire world. And that's coming from a guy, you know,
I suggest it to everyone. It is hilarious.
It is awesome. It is so good. Now, is that the sort of kind of humor and comedy you do find on a regular basis?
Have you ever heard of Schitt's Creek?
Yeah.
Well, that was also filmed here in Ontario, actually. So yeah, we have a few shows like that, but we mostly stream a lot of the things that the same that you guys do, like Yellowstone, shows like that. Yeah.
That's cool.
Oh, that's I can cool. also suggest to you a show that was filmed in Kingston, my hometown, is Mayors of Kingstown. Have you ever watched that one?
No, but I hear that's really good.
It's excellent, and the prison scenes are all filmed in my hometown of Kingston, so you should watch it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get into that because I love everything that is Taylor Sheridan, so.
Yeah.
Everything that dude touches is gold to me. You know, it's,
yep.
So, now with...
So I think I would be totally remiss if I didn't mention our friends over at 10thWhiskey.com. That's 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company. They're out of Vail, Colorado. Great, great friends of ours. We don't like bourbon here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, and they make the absolute best bourbon I've ever tasted in my entire life. And I'm not saying that because they've been great to us. They have the best bourbon, the best rye I've ever tasted in my entire life. So check them out, 10thWhiskey.com. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey Podcast sent you. Cheers.
With what you're currently doing in the music world, where are you at now? How are you doing your music? Are you EPing it, singling it, albuming it? You know, what does that look like for you? Because I know for everybody it's different.
I am currently just working on releasing singles. I just released Set in Stone last month in September, and I'm just riding the high and the wave of that one. I do know that I'm going to have another single coming out in January at some point. It's a sad, slow one, you know, but I love releasing.
Something you're not used to.
Well, I do release a lot of slow songs. I would love to release an EP and eventually an album someday and do little tours with that and some release shows. That would be awesome. Have some industry people come out. Would love to have a sold out show in Nashville. But yeah, just working my way around. I work down on Broadway a lot, singing at some of the bars and just trying, you know, make it work every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, when you are performing in Nashville, what are you doing, a lot of the writer round kind of thing, or are you doing other stuff?
I do lots of writer's rounds. I love my favorite stage in Nashville that I performed on is the listening room, but mostly I am down doing the cover song thing on Broadway, which I sing at Miranda Lambert's Bar, Luke Bryan's Bar, Jason Aldean's, Florida Georgia Lines, and Tequila Cowboy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, you don't have to say, but do you have a preference out of those places?
I have a preference of stage in most of the places. I love Miranda Lambert's one because we get a food, I don't know what the word is, like tab. They give us money toward food every time we perform, and her restaurant food is absolutely amazing. And I love Jason Aldean's diner because people are just in there and it's kind of like you get requests for your own originals a lot because people are in there to eat. So they're not really talking. So they're just actually listening, which is fun. And then Luke's Main is just so fun for a rowdy crowd.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they all have their special ways and it just depends on the day. I mean, I've had great days at Tequila Cowboy. I've had great days at Florida Georgia Line. I've had horrible days at the other bars. So it just depends on the day. But yeah. No, I appreciate them all.
Yeah, I mean, and for being down there, I mean, you're getting a different crowd every time you go. You know, it's very, you know, it's the tourist trap, right? So it's very rare you're getting the same people all the time that are in there.
Yeah, I hardly ever see the same people. You're getting people from all across the world, too, so you're getting to learn about them. And it's funny, we get some requests of songs I've never even heard of before, so it's always fun to look those up, too.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's cool to be able to, you know, I mean, it's a great, great option or an opportunity to, you know, really spread your brand, too, and, you know, be like, hey, that's how you can find me.
Yep, and I used to hate plugging that in your shows and being like, hey, would you mind following me? But now I just have a little QR code and I always point it out to people. And yeah, it's great to get people following you. And I always get messages when people come back into town asking when I have shows. So yeah, it's a great networking opportunity for sure.
Absolutely. So now with this venture, this country music venture, are you doing everything yourself or do you have a team behind you?
I am currently completely independent. I have been completely independent since I was 16.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, do you like that better?
I will say there are pros and cons. I mean, when I was signed to the independent record label, I had everything handed to me. So it was very easy for me to have performance opportunities and rights. I was just told when and where to be, and that was awesome. But I also was told when and I could release things and what I could release. Now I have the creative opportunities to release what I want when I want, but I have to do everything myself, so I can't just sit on my butt anymore. I gotta hustle. And but that's been a good lesson.
Right. I mean, in hell, you know what? Whatever you're doing is working because your music is fantastic. Your reach is fantastic. You know, you have a complete package. And, you know, I always say, you know, it just takes that one person in the room to, you know, change your whole entire life. And I'm pretty sure that's coming sooner than you imagine.
Oh, well, you know what? When that day comes, I'll be calling you to let you know.
That's right. I love that. I'm going to assume that you're over the age of 21 without any, you know, major assumptions there.
I am. I look like I'm 12, but I'm 24.
Okay. Now, because we are the Boots and Whiskey podcast, obviously I have to ask about your whiskey and about your boots.
Okay.
So do you have preferences on either of those things? Do you have favorites of either of those things?
Okay, well, I will start with the whiskey. I am not a big drinker now. Singing on Broadway, we get handed about 5 to 10 drinks every single gig. I very rarely will take them, but I'm always...
Also, don't forget our friends over at hogwashandrhinestones.com. Our good friend Ray is the owner over there. She makes incredible clothing that you've seen all over the place, from Nashville to Boston to everywhere in between. Some really big names have worn her stuff. That's Hogwash, the letter N, rhinestones.com. Check them out. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey podcast sent you. You won't be disappointed. Check them out. Hogwashandrhinestones.com.
I'm always open to trying it, but I honestly can't tell you if I've ever tried whiskey.
What?
Wow. I'm trying to think.
Sorry.
Is Fireball whiskey?
I mean, no. It says what? It is, but it's not.
Okay, well, I've tried Fireball.
Right, that's fine. Now, if not whiskey, a drink of choice if you are going to drink?
Yeah, I very, very rarely ever do drink, but I do love vodka.
Yeah, that's such a, don't take this the wrong way, but that's such a typical girl answer. I don't get it.
I also have a lot of food allergies, so I just find that vodka mixed with just like water is the best option for me if I'm going to drink.
Yeah, and it's gluten free, you know. So
yeah, oh, is it? Okay, good.
Yeah,
job.
Well, I mean, most of them are. You know, I know like Tito's is for sure, and mm-hmm. want a brand that represents us, 10th Mountain Whiskey, they have a vodka and they're gluten-free as well.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Well, yeah, I learned the hard way that vodka can be very expensive. I had no idea, and I went to Topgolf with some friends, and I asked for a Grey Goose with just some water, and it was quite expensive.
Yeah.
So I learned the hard way.
Yeah, I try to never drink hard alcohol out because it's such a ripoff.
So, yeah.
You know, unless they have like a whiskey selection that it's hard to find, then I'll bite the bullet. But for the most part, it's not worth it. You know.
What's your favorite whiskey?
Oh God, I have a few. I like Jack. Jack is a pretty standard go-to. You know, that's.
Oh, Jack Daniels?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, I've tried that before.
Yep. You know, so that's an easy one, but that's my mixer. If I'm mixing,
yeah.
I do like 10th Mountain, like I mentioned. They have a great bourbon that, you know, I don't need to say. I could say it sucks, but, you know, it really is really good. It's really smooth. Yeah, I mean, there's really not much I've tried that I haven't liked. You know, I like all the Buffalo Trace stuff. So, you know, yeah, there's a few things I would never go back to, but I'm not a big Canadian whiskey fan.
Oh, okay.
You know, there's too much of a bite. It's too bitter to me, but you know,
interesting.
When it comes to whiskey, it's all about, you know, it's all subjective, you know, cause our palates are all so different that,
mm-hmm.
you know, what I might get out of something, you probably won't get out of it, you know, and vice versa. So it's, you know, whenever you see like reviews on whiskey, it's all subjective. It's not, you know, there's no real science behind it because we're all so different.
You got to try it yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know.
Now, what about your boots?
Oh, I own a lot of boots. I love cowboy boots. I have owned cowboy boots since I was probably 16. I have so many pairs. I have sparkly ones. I do not have Luke Casey's, but I would love to have some Luke Casey's.
Me too.
I have almost every single color of boots except for red. That's what I want next, is red boots.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Do you have a brand that you prefer over another?
Trendy and Tipsy, which is a Nashville store, I do a lot of work with them. They dress me for music videos and stuff, but I spend a lot of my money there on boots. Their boots are cheap, but they are so comfortable, and I think there are a variety of brands that they buy from. I can't answer that without looking, but yeah, Trendy and Tipsy, if any girls are out there shopping in Nashville, you want to go there.
Now, where is that?
That is by the Bluebird Cafe, which is in Green Hills.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the one and only time I went to Nashville, I actually stayed in that area.
Nice.
Our hotel was there, and it was great. Great, great little area.
Yep, very nice area.
Awesome. Well, Alexa, thank you so much for coming on and shooting the breeze and giving us a little, you know, a little history into you and what you're doing. You know, I think what you're doing is great, and the music is great. It's just, you know, I cannot honestly wait to see what you continue to do and succeed with. It's awesome.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me on and talking about my music and talking about me. I appreciated it. And I'll have to make sure that I send you some Canadian chocolate and some Kraft peanut butter.
Yeah, just don't make it chunky. No chunky peanut
butter. No, the cream and smooth.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the only way. It's the only way.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Alexa, thank you. The pleasure's been all ours. Again, we look forward to talking to you soon again.
Alrighty. Bye. Have a great day.
You too.
Dallas Jackson here with Tipsy Music. Artists, are you tired of getting $5 to play Freebird? How are you getting fans to engage with your own music? Venmo and Linktree are just temporary solutions until now. Tipsy Music is the one-stop shop for live music to make your life easier and monetize your setlist. Tipsy takes Venmo, Apple Pay, Google Pay, and even credit cards, all through your unique Tipsy QR code. Best part is no app to download, so fans can pay you quickly and get back to getting tipsy while watching you do what you do best. Sign up for free today at tipsymusic.com. That's T-I-P-S-E-E music.com, at Tipsy Music on all socials. Long live live music.
Well, there you have it, everyone. Our conversation with Alexa Goldie. Alexa, thank you again so much for taking the time and shooting the breeze with us. We had a great time. And if you've listened to us before, you may be like, Jim, why are you so hoarse? Well, we went to the Patriots yesterday afternoon against the Chiefs, and my voice is still a little gone from it. So, you know what? We had a great time. And, you know, we saw our Patriots loss, which, with the way the season's going, shouldn't surprise anybody. But we got to see Taylor Swift. So that's, you know, whatever. She was there. She was sitting, like, right above us. It was awesome. It was cool to see. And that's it. So, again, thank you for tuning in. We have a couple more episodes this week, so tune in for that. I think we are also doing an episode on Saturday, but I'm not sure. I think I don't have the schedule in front of me. I'm not looking at it. But we got a lot of stuff coming up for the next 2 weeks, so stay tuned. Thank you again so much for listening to our show. As you can tell, if you've never been here before, and if you have, it's all about real people, real stories, real country guys. Thank you so much again. And until Wednesday, keep those boots on the ground and the whiskey in the glass, y'all. Cheers. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Thank you so much.